Always worth saying's Question Time Review. Question Time. The 17th of November, 2022. The panel. Victoria Atkins, Conservative. Jonathan Ashworth, Labour. Kate Andrews, The Spectator. Kevin Phillips, Trevor Phillips. Broadcaster, Ian Blackford, SNP. The venue, Snape in Suffolk. The presence of Fatty Blackford allows us our regular QT review reminder that the SNP's origins lie within Nazism, fascism, racism and sectarian bigotry. Arthur Donaldson, the founding father, was pictured with the Hitler Youth and urged Gotz to side with the Germans while Clyde Bank was being bombed by the Luftwaffe. Another founding father, Andrew Jewell Deeb, quoted Hitler in his speeches and was a self-confessed fascist who expressed a visceral hatred of foreigners. A QT review biography of Fatty is available here. Question 1. Can the British economy survive another 2 years of austerity? Question 2. What austerity? The government have been printing, borrowing, taxing and burning money as if it was going out of fashion, especially during the pandemic. Victoria Atkins named the number one problem as inflation and blamed it on Putin. John Ashworth said we are facing recession and rising unemployment. He trumped Putin with 12 wasted Tory years and Mrs. Truss's overambitious mini-budget. He wanted more taxes, including VAT on school fees and more windfall taxes. A nut in the audience played the joker by blaming Brexit and wanted to rejoin the European single market. She also said that Paris has become a bigger financial centre than London, which is absolute bollocks, unchallenged by La Bruce. Another crank claimed to be an exporter and added he was determined not to trade with places like Australia, but with continental Europe instead. There was thunderous applause from the hopelessly biased BBC audience. The gentleman added that he worked for the NHS, ticking another BBC box. But then, how can he be an exporter? He exports books, he told us. Brexit has been a disaster, he continued, no doubt expecting us to believe voting leave has caused a war in the Ukraine and a Chinese bat flu pandemic. Fatty noted energy prices have risen threefold in a year, omitting to mention the SNP are against hydrocarbons and nuclear power, leaving little energy left to buy. So Trevor thought it was going to get worse. The can was being kicked down the road with public spending not being cut for another 2 years. Business rates are destroying our high streets, and there is an ominous review of the pension age. There was nothing in the budget about social care or our woeful productivity problem. Trevor spoke in favour of mass and controlled and limited immigration, as if making us unemployed by importing vast numbers of low-paid service industry immigrants will somehow increase productivity. A silly woman in the audience said unemployment was expected to rise to 4.9 million, which is also bollocks. Another nutty claim uncorrected by La Bruce. Unemployment, however, is forecast to rise, which further nails Trevor Phillips's anti-British worker lie about a shortage of labour. Kate Andrews referred to my question too and said this wasn't an age of austerity, but the end of an age of cheap borrowing. She saw pensions and the NHS as being prohibitively expensive and the driver for higher taxes. Kate Andrews is a correspondent with Andrew Neil's Ghislaine Maxwell supporting Spectator magazine. Ms. Andrews was privately educated at the £20,000 a year Christian Heritage School in Trumbull, Connecticut, and the nearby $48,000 a year Greens Farm Academy. After high school graduation, Miss Andrews attended our very own University of St Andrews, where she took an MA in International Relations and Philosophy. A full QT review biography of the great journalist can be found here, including links to her side-splitting performances with the St Andrews University Blind Mirth Improv Comedy Group before a comatose audience. Jonathan Ashworth is the Labour MP for Leicester South, an East Midlands rotten borough that has been ethnically cleansed of British people and whose resultant tinged population, when not engaging in communal violence with each other, deliver an ethnically defined block vote to the toxic Labour Party. John has never had a job. After graduating in politics, philosophy and economics from Durham University, he served as the National Secretary of Labour Students before continuing at the Labour Party as a political research officer. Prior to becoming an MP, Mr. Ashworth held held various advisory and secretarial positions within the party. Puffins will be pleased on John's behalf to hear that in July it was reported that he had separated from his vile wife, Emily Oldknow, a QT review biography of whom can be found here. Looking through Mr. Ashworth's declared interests, one can't help but note that he is supported financially by the Unite Union, who boast of enjoying over 100,000 members employed within the NHS. Remember, when John commits to spending more of your money on the National Health Service, it will not be spent on the patients, but on the already overpaid trade unionists who donate to him. Victoria Mary Atkins is the MP for Louth and Horncastle and is Financial Secretary to the Treasury. The interests of diversity and equality of opportunity, Victoria's father, Sir Robert Atkins, is a former Conservative MP and MEP and Conservative Councillor. Victoria was privately educated at the Arnold School in Blackpool. She graduated in law from Corpus Christi College, Cambridge, and became a barrister in 1998. Specialising in fraud, Victoria entered the House of Commons in 2017. Mrs. Atkins's husband is businessman Paul Kenward, Managing Director of British Sugar. According to Wiki, his other directorships have included Pride Oils PLC, Westmill Foods, BE International Foods, Seed Coat Systems Limited, Germains UK Limited, the Wareham Gravel Company, ABF Grain Products, Mitra Sugar, and Davjohn Food. Sir Trevor Phillips, OBE, ARCSFIC, knighted as recently as the other Tuesday, is a Lie News broadcaster, writer, politician, quangocrat, and businessman. One of the Demerara Phillipses, Sir Trevor hails from British Guyana. Although born in Islington and educated at Wood Green County Grammar School, he returned to his family's native Georgetown to complete his secondary education at the exclusive Queen's College. This 175-year-old selective educational institution lies a spit away from what's left of the abandoned trackbed of the 60-mile and 40-chain-long Demerara to Berbice line, the South American continent's first railway. Completed in 1848, 17 stations connected the two mighty rivers. In the other direction, British Guyana's third great waterway lay neglected until 1914, when the rails finally reached the Essequibo at Parika, 18 miles and 40 chains from Redenhoop on the west bank of the Demerara. Sorry, I'm boring you. Back in London, and pictured here in his student days, Trevor studied chemistry at Imperial College, during which time he became president of the Students' Union and subsequently president of the National Union of Students. Following graduation, Trevor worked in television, rising to be a fully paid-up member of the London lovey lefty media bubble, specialising in race. Trevor's first wife was the interesting Farsi Indian Ashwa Bonagarai, another crackpot lefty who self-describes as a psychotherapist, author, lecturer, mindfulness teacher, lover of meditation, neuroscience, Pilates, Qi Gong, dancing, Beatles, chamber music and Rafa. The 68-year-old second wife, 16 years his junior, is the less interesting Helen Veal, a London media lovey creative director, whose recent successes include Remarkable Places to Eat and Sarah Beany's New Life in the Country. By an astonishing coincidence, Helen also produces her husband's programmes, including Things We Won't Say About Race That Are True, where Trevor says very controversial things that a white man wouldn't be allowed to say in order to plug his and his wife's work. Her tweets suggest a lefty brain meltdown based upon girls being just like boys but simultaneously being defined to exclusive female categories which exclude trans. Can you imagine the breakfast table at Chez Phillips Veal? Mrs. AWS doesn't realise how lucky she is as she listens to me ramble about iron roads wrapping themselves about the mighty river basins of South America in the 19th century, as the coffee machine defeats me yet again and I cremate the toast. A lifelong Labour Party member, Trevor had his membership suspended in March 2020 following claims of historic Islamophobia, including comments made while trying too hard to controversialise his wife's crap telly programmes. quietly reinstated in July 2021. Among a blizzard of Quangoland appointments, Sir Trevor is also an advisory board member of former Labour Prime Minister and unindicted war criminal Anthony Charles Linton Blair's sinister The Britain Project. Le Bruce wanted to talk about Brexit 6 years after we voted to leave. Back to the NHS book exporter. It is now easier to trade with the USA than with the EU, as the EU is hopelessly bureaucratic. There's your answer. Trade with the USA instead. They are our biggest trading partner anyway. What a tosser. John Ashworth reminded the audience that the Labour Party wouldn't reverse Brexit. He referred to the bigots and racists in places like Ireland and France who hate our guts as our brothers and sisters. Another tosser. The programme got bogged down in Brexit phobia. Fatty Blackford doesn't realise there's been a pandemic and a war in the Ukraine. He blamed Brexit for everything in much the same way that previously the founding fathers of his party and their fellow travellers on continental Europe blamed, careful now, you-know-who for everything. The derangement was off the scale. A madness has descended, at least amongst the media political bubble and their hand-picked audiences. I gave up listening, but my ears pricked up upon mention of a local issue. The natives are protesting against a new nuclear reactor, Sizewell C, and a new local wind farm, while also complaining about an energy shortage. A word about the locals. They didn't sound very Suffolk to me. Not one of them. Although it would be wrong to expect an audience of hayseeds dressed in sackcloth held together with twine, it would have been nice if at least one person in the audience didn't sound like a posh incomer from London. Unfamiliar with that part of the country, am I correct in assuming Snape is to Islington what Bradford is to Islamabad? More derangement ensued. John doesn't want to rely on unreliable foreign energy markets, therefore committed to relying on unreliable wind power. Fatty is going to produce 80 gigawatts of green energy in Scotland alone. That's double entire UK demand. How? Tidal, he said. But how? You can get that baseload from Tidal, he insisted. No, you can't. There's no such thing as a tidal power station. There are tidal lagoons draining through turbines. The lagoons are massive. For the effort, the amount of electricity generated is laughable. A gentleman in the audience saw NIMBYism as a problem, especially as it means we're behind Europe in wind power. No, we aren't. More bollocks. Every car park in France is going to have a solar panel roof built over it. This will produce more electricity than you can imagine, especially at night. Even by question time standards, this was utter tosh. Sir Trevor spoke as a scientist. He dismissed net zero as unattainable and insisted upon nuclear reactors. Small nuclear reactors which, like tidal power, don't exist. There are submarine engines which are too small and the likes of Sizewell C which are too big. Nothing lies between. This didn't stop the wild applause for the small modular reactors. I don't understand this. Somebody please explain below the line. They're in favour of mass uncontrolled unlimited immigration while unemployment rises. They're hysterical about carbon dioxide and Brexit. They cannot cope with one Sizewell C but cheer to the echo the 10 SMRs needed in its place. They think electricity appears from nowhere via their pet silver bullet theory, despite the laws of physics. A madness has descended. A darkish woman called Nisha asked the Arab-phobic question. Should I watch the World Cup, even though I disagree with the culture of the people whose country it's been held in, and without mentioning the words Islam or Muslim? Penniless Sir Trevor said the World Cup was only going to Qatar for the money, money and money. Having said that, he thought we should watch the competition and shout for our country. Somebody tell him British Guiana aren't in it. Sir Trevor insisted that when interviewed after 90 minutes of toe pokes and falling over for England, rainbow armband bedecked Captain Harry Kane should have something to say about women in Iran. Fatty Blackford hasn't seen any football for years. He watches Hibernian every week. The Herbs have a player in the Australian squad. Fatty will be cheering for them rather than for England, along with the other 30 teams in the competition who aren't England. Do Puffins really want to see Sir Trevor, Fatty and John Ashworth in their shorts in the 50-degree heat trying to kick a ball about? No, we don't. Likewise, we don't want football to do politics.